We love to come here is because of the beautiful piano playing. Do not take this for granted. And it's lovely, and it really sets a tone, a sacred tone, what is played and how it's played, and we really appreciate it. In a minute, well, we were going to hear from my wife, but let me just, by way of introduction, bring you to the text that we're looking at for beginners, and that is in First Chronicles, way back in the Old Testament, and chapter 4, First Chronicles chapter 4. And just two verses, I'm going to read those verses, and then I'll introduce Linda. First Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him sorrow." And we don't, there's probably more about that that we don't understand than we do understand, but that was the name she gave him, and it was somehow connected to sorrow. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil." And God granted him that which he requested. I was invited this time to specifically speak to you about the Jabez mission. So why don't we begin with Linda, and she'll give you an idea of where that name came from to call this mission, and then the Jabez mission, and then I'll explain more about it.
I'm so happy to be here today and not representing ourselves, but representing our God. And so I want to give you a little backstory about the Jabez missions. When we came back from Venezuela, most of you know that we spent 15 years in Venezuela. And when we came back from Venezuela, because of the difficulties there and because God showed us at the time, it's time to leave. We prayed for a year, saying, just wait a little, and then we just knew that it was time to come back to the States. And during that period of being at home here in our country, we were praying about what God wanted us to do next. And different churches approached Dawn, but at the same time, we didn't feel led by God to do that work. And so most of you know our son, Birch, and his wife, Connie. And Birch was teaching a young woman who had come from Myanmar to how to do translation work with a computer and with the programs that they had built. And he was doing that in our dining room. And remember, we're praying about what to do next. And so he is teaching this young woman, and we're getting to know her, and her name is Becky. And so Becky was a girl that strangely had a personality like a Mainer, even though she was from Myanmar. And so we loved having them there and doing the hearing the teaching from Don's office and so forth. And yet Don had written a booklet, and the day that she was there, one of the days that she was there, here he comes into the house on a dolly, Not him on the dolly. He wasn't on there. It was all the books that had been delivered by UPS. All of these books that and pamphlets that he had written. And so he brought it into the dining room and he sat down and opened a box. And Becky came over and he was looking at the booklet that was in his hand and she grabs it out of his hand and she starts reading it and she said, "You need to go to Myanmar." And so, okay. And so Don said, "Well, yes, but you know, I know you have a father who is over all the missionaries in this area of Myanmar, and so you can't ask me to go. Your dad has to ask me to go." Well, the next morning, we received an email, and Dr. Timothy Meng asked Don to come to Myanmar. That was the beginning of our relationship with Becky. And that was the beginning of our going to Myanmar for 11 years, back and forth. And so wonderful things were happening. We traveled to Myanmar. We taught at their college and so forth. We got to know Becky even better. And in a few years, Becky was marrying one of our translators. Most of the people in Myanmar speak, especially I guess they call them tribal groups. They're not offended by that. They all speak about six languages. Many of them do. And so one of the translators was the man that Becky had said yes to for her marriage, and we were thrilled. And so we went to the wedding. Don was part of the ceremony and so forth. And then her husband's name is Josiah, and they were, you know, their first year of marriage. And when we came back the following year, they were having a baby. And so we were very excited about that. And the baby's name was Jabez. Because the grandfathers of children are the ones that name the baby boys. And so that was the name that Dr. Timothy chose for his grandson, Jabez. And we, at the time, because we knew the meaning of Jabez, we thought, oh, well, very interesting, because... And so Becky, we had seen Becky and so forth, but before we knew it, she was having the baby, and we went to see the baby, and he was a beautiful child. And then we were to travel across the country to another location, to her uncle's, who is the... He is the director of a Bible Institute about 5 hours from where we were. And so he introduced Don to his institute, and we spoke there and so forth. And he said, "I have two young men that need support for the mission field. They are going to the most difficult areas in Myanmar. One is going to Rakhine State. You may have heard of that state. It's been in the news quite a bit. And the other is Naypa Du, which is a governmentally owned area, basically." And so these two young men, he explained who they were and so forth. And he said, "Can you help me raise support for these young men?" And he told Don what the support would be. And so Don did not answer at that time. But when we went back to Yangon, where Becky and her husband lived, Becky's baby was not doing well at all. And it turned out that there was something wrong in the stomach area, and Myanmar did not have did not have the hospital that would be able to take care of this problem. And so we left, it was December, and we left Myanmar, not knowing how things would go. And shortly afterwards, we were told that baby Jabez had passed. And Don said to me, Linda, we cannot have this child die in vain. We need to start with those two missionaries that we've been asked if we will help them with their support. We need to do that. And my faith wasn't quite as strong as his, but he was sure that that's what God wanted us to do. So we started with two missionaries, and those two missionaries have been on the field ever since, through earthquakes, through burning down their house.
And civil war.
And they've stayed by the stuff, and even Burmese people are being saved. And so we are very thankful to God for the Jabez ministry, and the Jabez mission is really what it is. And Don will carry on with the rest of it.
So it was a shock to us that this little baby died, 2 months old, if that. But at the same time, I understood the timing of everything and the fact that God was in another area of the country, as my wife explained, showing us where we could be of some use to missions, because that's where our heart is in foreign missions. And here was the man named Samuel presenting me with two young men up in the foothills of Burma next to India that were ready, trained, educated, and called to go to the mission field. And here, on the other hand, was this baby that had just left this world. And I wanted to marry those two events. And there, because of that, and then and there was born what we call the Jabez ministry or the Jabez mission. I came home and began to raise money for their support. I asked Samuel how much it would cost them to live and to plant a church. And he said their apartment rent and their food would be around $250 each per month. That was 4 years ago. Now it's gone up, due to inflation, $300 a month. But we were able to raise the money, and we've never missed a month in shipping or sending over there the combined $600, including when there has been the earthquake and when there has been typhoon, tsunami, when there has been civil war and things were, there was a chaotic situation, we even sent extra money to cover that, all from the Jabez Fund, which was supported by individuals who were touched of God to give us donations for that. So I thought that the following year, this would have been 4 years ago that it began, I thought the following year we would have more graduates and we didn't. There were graduates, but we didn't have new recommendations for missionaries to the Jabez mission until this year. This year, around Christmas time, we were notified that by my contact person, Samuel, that there was a young man graduating from his institute who he felt would be who felt called to go to Yangon, the former capital city. Naypyidaw is now the capital city, created by the government, by the military government. By the way, in 2021, on February 1st, there was a coup, and the country went from democracy to dictatorship, and it's still suffering under that dictatorship. But we were told that there's a young man now who is eligible and qualified, and I asked my friend Samuel, will he stand by the stuff? And he assured me through email that he felt that this man was truly called and dedicated and mature enough to be in the midst of difficulties to plant a church, or if not churches, in Yangon. And one of the attractive things about him is, Yangon is a city of 30 million people. There's about 55 million people in the country of Myanmar, or 30 million are in the city. It has been, I don't know if today, but it has been known as one of the poorest cities in the world. But what attracted me most about this young man, not only did he want to go to a field of hardship, but he is Burmese. Now, most of the graduates in the Bible school that are turning, that are following Christianity are non-Burmese. 15 to 20% of the country is what we call tribal people with their own dialect and their own language. And there's about 120 of these different tribal peoples in dialects. And they're fluent in Burmese because they live in a Burmese country, but they also have the language of their tribe that they grew up with. In some cases, depending on who they marry, they learn a third language. And the kids grow up, or maybe they have a mother, they grow up bilingual or trilingual. But I wanted us to have a missionary, or prayed for, that we would have a missionary who was 100% Burmese to reach the Burmese people, because they were the first people that Ed and Irene Judson reached and went to Burma for. The first Christian in Burma was actually at the hands of a missionary named Boardman, Dana Boardman, who was born and raised here in Maine. And he was a graduate of Colby College when Colby College was a Bible institute down in Waterville. But I wanted us to support, and God answered my prayer that we would have a missionary who would be reaching the Burmese people directly, have a broader audience, and that's this young man. His name is Van, V-A-N. The last name is Lam, L-W-A-M, Lam. And now he wants support, and the support has stayed about the same, $300. Now, I want to give you this interesting thing that happened around the same time that I was being made aware of this young man's needs. Around Christmas time, as you know, Linda and I are missionaries, fully supported by donations from churches and a few individuals. But around Christmas time, we became aware that one of our churches that's been with us for 25 years now suddenly stopped supporting us. Well, these things happen. But the problem here is that this church supported us very generously compared to maybe other churches. And this church supported us at $300 a month, which is fairly generous, or is generous, $300 a month. I called the head of the missions committee at the church to ask what had happened, because we did not receive any letters or anything. And they said, well, as you know, we have a new pastor, and the former pastor died. He was one of the first people to die in New York State of COVID. He died early in April before everybody really knew what was going on. And they hired a new man, nice man. We like him. We've met him. We've been there. We like him. But he had his own ideas as to where he wanted the church's money to go, and that's his, he can do that. And they dropped us and stopped sending us this money. Well, at the same time, we were being asked by our friend in Myanmar to pick up a new missionary, which is what we'd been praying for. at $300 a month. And so I'm thinking on the one hand, as maybe you would, we just lost $300. And now we're being asked to add $300. And I pondered that for a number of days. And this is what happened. God spoke to me and said, "This is a test of your faith." See, sometimes our faith hasn't found a resting place. Our faith in salvation has. But sometimes we doubt. Events and circumstances come into the life, and because we are still flesh and blood, we momentarily lose our faith. We look at the situation around us. We're in a boat, and the boat's in a heavy sea, and the boat's going down. It's shipping water. We lose our faith. Our faith is challenged. And the person that's always behind those challenges has a name, and his name is Satan. And Satan challenges. Now, Satan cannot touch us as Christians, and he cannot harm us as Christians, but he can put us in situations that are uncomfortable and challenge our faith. And over the course of a few days, I'm thinking, wow, we just lost 300, and now we're being asked for 300. This doesn't look good. I'm praying a lot, and about after 3 days of that, it hits me. This is Satan. This is a test from Satan. You with me? Satan is challenging my faith and testing my faith. And the Bible clearly says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And I know I have to live by faith. And I said, and I'm giving you this testimony so you will follow it one day. I said, I am going to hit the devil right in the face. He's taking $300 away from me. I am going to step out on faith and commit myself, not to making up the $300, but to adding $300 to our missionary giving. So I contacted my friend Samuel in Myanmar, and I said, we will take on the responsibility for raising the money for Mr. Van, who wants to go to Yangon as a missionary. Now, how is the money handled? That maybe is what you're wondering. Donations are sent, and so far people would give a check, not on a monthly basis. Well, yes, there is one gentleman that gives on a monthly basis to this fund. But generally, they're large donations who have gone into a special account. The money is sent to the church. Money has gone into account designated exclusively for Jabez ministry or Jabez missions. And then the treasurer would take out the amount of money for the two boys, three and three, $600 every month. And of course, that fund shrinks every month. And we did not have the promise of the supplement of the extra, the new 300. So I told God, if I have to do it out of my own pocket, I'll do it, but we're going to show the devil that he's not going to challenge my faith and win. So we made this commitment, my wife and I, that we would make that payment. That was in May. We sent money plus $50 so he could fly down to Yangon and start his work. When April came, there was a donation that covered the $300. That was April, May, June. Now we're in June. So let me back up. So it was in May that we sent June, we made the arrangements. May, we sent his first check. And now we're in June, and we have to send another check. The $300, the $600 is there for the other two boys. But there's no money in the Jabez Fund that's designated for this young man. And next week, I will make the payment. And if the money doesn't come in, then I will pay it myself. That's fine. That's fine. Because we walk by faith. We spend money by faith. I should add this to the story to keep all things honest. The church that has dropped us of their support, we just learned last week, is now talking about, I think today, reinstating the money that we were receiving as missionaries. I haven't seen that yet, but I have faith that that will happen. But my point is that this is a faith operation. When we went to Venezuela, in the very beginning of our missions ministry, everything we did was by faith, because we are not affiliated with a mission board. And it's not like we have them to lean on. We are affiliated with our local church in Warren, and we always have been. So we are sent out by that church, and we keep close connections with that church. But when we went to Venezuela, we were there like on our own, and every day it was a question of, God, what do you want us to do? Lead us. We knew we needed to get outside the home, the house we had every day. We would go outside the house, and we just saw things happen. It began with kids. This is a new phenomenon for us, children that live on the street. They live night and day on the street. They huddle up together at night for protection. They sleep in a group. Then they go their separate ways. The boys shine shoes, and that's how they survive. The girls sell candy for a small profit. But we saw that these kids were not receiving any kind of an education, any kind of a social structure. And so Linda, more than me, took them under her wing. And by faith, we began to feed them lunch. And by faith, we began to do this. And by faith, we began to do that. And as we grew, a team of Venezuelans came alongside to help us. And we went into some neighborhoods that we were told not to go into. And by faith, we went into those neighborhoods because we felt God was calling us into those dangerous parts of the city. And we started a Bible study every Saturday and a children's activity every Saturday in that neighborhood. And one thing led to another until the time came that someone gave us the use of a trailer. We had a Bible Institute. A man and a wife graduated and said that, while they were students, they wanted to work with the young people, with the children. The street children. A department store where one of my deacons, his son worked in the department store. He arranged that the department store would donate beds and mattresses and linens and towels. Everything that created this children's home all came through donations. We did not go down there with any backing of any institution or mission board that was helping us back here in the States. So Linda and I learned the virtues and the rewards of walking by faith, living by faith. And that's what the Jabez mission is all about. And with this need that we now have, I made Paul aware of it, and he invited me to come and speak to you. about it, to lay it out there for you. The second reason why we named it the Jabez Mission, it happened at the time that Becky's little boy died, but the name Jabez, for me, has always been associated with this verse 10. And I'll read that again. And Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would," there's four petitions in this prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. That is a perfect prayer for missionaries. And it's a perfect prayer for missionaries and pastors who are now working on the mission field in a dangerous country like Myanmar. One of the boys that we support, his name is Aung Myint, two words, Aung, A-U-N-G, Myint. He has planted a church in the city of Ann, in Rakhine State. And Rakhine borders, is the only state in Myanmar that borders Bangladesh. And it is being inundated with, and Bangladesh has the highest population density in the world, and Rakhine State is being inundated with illegal refugees, and they're all Muslim, coming into Rakhine State. And he is witnessing to both Muslims and Buddhists at the same time. And the military is in that state trying to hold back the immigrants, the Buddhist Muslim immigrants. It's a very, very volatile place. But he has been there now. We have supported him for 4 years, and he has planted a church there, and it's growing. Second missionary that we support, his name is Daniel Hri, H-R-E, Hri. And he is in Naypyidaw, or Naypyidaw, which is a recently invented city in the middle of the jungle, which has now all the government offices and where the new capital of Myanmar is. It's no longer Yangon. They moved up there. The military junta has moved up there and made that their headquarters. A lot of civil workers have moved there to have stores and do services for the rich military government. That's a great place to have a church. And he's doing quite well. And that church is growing. Now we will have a third church, as Mr. Van in Yangon, as he begins to evangelize. Yangon City, and every town, every city and town in Burma is full of, not coffee shops, but tea shops. It's what the British left behind when they occupied Myanmar. They were in India, and they looked over at Myanmar and said, "Well, why don't we take that one too?" You know, it's like being greedy at a buffet. We'll have one of those too. And they went over there and occupied that country for almost exactly 100 years. What they left behind is, I just read an interesting comment about the British Empire. No offense to you Brits here, but the British Empire has a history of leaving two things behind whenever they leave a country: a cricket ball and a black ball. Black ball, you get it? The segregation part of you can't join our club, you're blackballed. That's what they're famous for. I think that's pretty clever and true. So there's these tea shops, and the tea shops are perfect places for witnessing. The government, Burchard County just came back from there, and they kept a low profile, and that was recommended, and they got their job done that they went there for. And I think they've been here. Have they been here since they've returned? No. But they have good news to report of the success of their ministry there. We were scheduled to go. We even had plane tickets ready to go last October. But we were having very difficult times getting a visa. You can't get in without a visa. And in the midst of working on getting that visa, I experienced a heart attack for the first time in my life. And my health has gone a little nuts ever since. The next month, I got pneumonia. A few months later, I had a concussion. And don't know what else is going on. But, I have a return of the trigeminal neuralgia, which I have. So we're hoping to go this fall, but health permitting, we will return. We can only stay in Yangon. Part of the attraction of that, because of the government, we no longer can travel the country. We have been to every major town and city in that country in the 14 trips that we've made there over 12 years, 11 or 12 years. But Yangon, if we go, that's where this new church will be. And we would be happy to visit that church. And the young pastor is bilingual. His seminary training was in English. So he's bilingual and we'll be able to communicate. I want to read to you his resume that he sent to me. First of all, I thank God for giving me the privilege to introduce myself to you. My name is Mr. Van Siar Wong, or Lom. I was born in September 18, 2003, in Canaan Village, Sagang Division, Myanmar. I have four brothers. I am brought up in a Christian family, but until 2016, I was not saved. In the year 2016, I received Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord at one of the evangelistic meetings conducted by my father. My father has been pastoring in the Revival Baptist Church in Chutting Pin. I don't know his father, but I do know that the Revival Baptist Church is the name that Timothy, the man who sets up our itinerary when we go there, the churches that he plants are called Revival Baptist Church. Since I got saved, I started praying to God to open a door for me to go to Bible college where I will be trained and founded in the word of truth so I can serve him wherever he calls me. The Lord answered my prayer and opened the door for me to go to Faith Theological College and Seminary in 2016, and that's the college that Samuel oversees, and we have been there and spoken there twice. I have been indeed well trained here, and now I'm ready to go to the mission field and plant a church. If God willing, I will be ready to go to Yangon region by the end of May. And as I said, he's now in the city of Yangon. During my study here, we have been taught the truth well and have spoken so much about serving the Lord. I am a Bachelor of Theology, third-year student. I come to know that I am called to serve God as a missionary. What a great joy to see some of the graduates will also be going to serve the Lord on the mission field. I therefore humbly ask you to pray for me and support me as one of the Jabez missionaries, as I am following to step into Yangon region where God calls me. After I received that beautiful letter, I wrote to Samuel and asked him if he could recommend personally this young man. This is the letter Samuel wrote back to me. I am writing to enthusiastically recommend Mr. Van Sier Lom to be included in one of the Jabez missionaries. I have known him for 4 years and have been consistently impressed by his commitment to faith, service, and well-being of others. He demonstrates a strong and genuine faith. He actively participates in all the seminary activities, such as in evangelism outreach, church services, prayer groups, Bible study, and consistently seeks to live out his faith in daily life. He is known for his honesty, compassion, and humility. Besides, he has a heart for service and a genuine desire to help others. He's also adaptable and resilient and has the qualities that will be essential for navigating the challenges of missionary life. He is open to new experiences and is not afraid to step outside of his comfort zone. I am confident that Mr. Van Sieralom possesses the qualities necessary to be a successful and impactful missionary. He indeed is a person of faith, character, and service, and I wholeheartedly recommend him for this important opportunity. If you ever hear any messages on missions, you've heard this or you will hear this. There are people, nationals now, people around the world willing to do the work that 100 years ago we had to do. Now they're willing to do it, and they're 10 times better equipped to do it than we are. They know not only the language, but the culture. We have people from southern United States who know English. They come up here to plant churches, but they don't know the culture. And many of them, not all, but some of them don't last very long. The culture is unique here in Maine, not just the weather, but we have a very unique, abrasive, standoffish, cold personality if you're coming in from the outside. We're really not like that. You never met those people, but there are a lot of people here in Maine. Maybe you're somewhat cosmopolitan here next to the university, but I've traveled north and south and east and west all over Maine. I pastored a church for 15 years on the coast where we had fishermen. They're a culture unto their own. Be they clam diggers or lobstermen, they're still fishermen. So these men know the culture. They fit into. They don't stand out either in terms of being from away, like people do here if you're from away. And I'm excited, and I'm going to see to it, God willing, that this young man, he's on the mission field, that he stays there. So I'm just asking you for your help financially. Tough times are tough, but believe me, there's someone out there is having it a lot tougher time than any of us in here are having. Okay. Paul, any questions, Paul, or as I kind of covered it, what you wanted me to... Okay. Yep, good. Okay. Well, let's pray, shall we? Father, the first thing I want to pray for is the United States of America. We are involved, more or less, in a war as of last night, and I just pray your protection upon our country and upon our servicemen and women, upon our president, as he guides us, upon his leadership and his secretaries. May America not do unjust harm, but may America live and fight for not only peace in the Middle East, but the protection of Israel. Because we know from the Bible that Israel is special to you. Jerusalem is special to you. We don't maybe understand where Judaism fits in with our Christianity, but we do know that this country is important to you, and whatever is important to you is important to us, and so we pray for the future of this country, this small country, and for America, who is likewise in leadership in favor of protecting this small country. We pray for missions around the world that go into difficult and dangerous places, some at the very risk of their life, not just a question of discomfort, but a question of returning home alive. Many of those missionaries are nationals, are born-again Christians who want to introduce Jesus to Muslims, and to Buddhists, and to people who know not the salvation and the grace and the love of God. We pray that you'd keep them safe. We pray that you'd keep their faith strong as they walk in faith. Pray that you'd bless their preaching, their ministry. Pray for those who produce Bibles and translate Bibles into foreign languages, that those Bibles will get into the hands of people who need Jesus and need to know about Christianity, and who will propagate what they read in their towns, villages, and neighborhoods. And we pray for this church right here in Orono, which has a great history. I pray for Bob Henderson as he's not doing the greatest, he and his wife, health-wise. I pray for their comfort and their peace. Thank you for knowing him, and thank you for what you've done through him. And this church now is on the search for a pastor. It's not a question of finding a pastor. It's a question of finding the right pastor for this particular work. And only you know who that is. Give wisdom to the pulpit committee to know, to not be over anxious to choose anybody, but to see the coming of the next man as a marriage, and that this church as a bride wants to marry the right man to be their leader. Give wisdom. Reveal in your timing that person, and may it be that timing be recognized by those here that will be recommending and voting on who the pastor should be. So, Lord, we just want to end this prayer with a word of thanks. First of all, for our salvation. Second of all, that we live in the greatest country in the world. And third of all, that we have a lot to enjoy. Oh, I also want to mention that Paul is tomorrow looking at some health issues. Give the doctors wisdom and knowledge as to the perfect remedy and program for him. And may that turn out to be perfect. Bless this church, its congregation, its future, and its day-by-day witness in the community. In Jesus' name, amen.